All right, so today, the season of resurrection, right? Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter in the church calendar. And we've been looking at just the many facets of resurrection, the facet of unity that it provides, of salvation, of strength, all these things that we can see coming out of God's power working in resurrection. The same power that will one day resurrect us. And we swear that hope. Now, today's readings, you probably heard some themes, right? Sherry mentioned the theme of Good Shepherd. We saw that in the Gospel of John. We saw that in Psalm 23. All right, we're seeing this idea of shepherding. There's a few other themes here. You may have seen the idea of abiding or living in. That was there. Something I've been chewing on this week, though, that, I don't know, just got me thinking. And something I saw in the Acts passage that, you know, I think ties it together. And so, as we think about resurrection, today I want to talk about the power of resurrection in evangelism. Now, I know it's true because it's true for me. You say the word evangelism, and it can stir up, well, frankly, fear and despair, okay? Because, of course, as Christians, you know, we've experienced Jesus, and we know him. You know, there's nothing better, right? We know that. And as, you know, just decent human beings, and we would want others to know, at the very least our family or friends, right? And of course, we're taught from an early age, you know, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, right? Go, go out there, you know. And how about you? But growing up in the, you know, 70s and 80s, that was a big deal, right? You know, get out there, even as a kid, you know, and get the track in your pocket. And, you know, in seventh grade math class, I could just, hey, and I'll show you this track or whatever it was, you know. And it's good because we want people to hear the good news. We want them to know how to be saved. We want all of that. Now, there's some issues sometimes with strict individualism, you know, or you know, praying a rote prayer and thinking you're just fine. But when it comes to us and our hearts, our desire for others to hear it, but then the practical, okay, what do I do to make that happen? I probably mentioned before, when I was in Bible college, I played basketball. And on a road trip, we had several hours in the bus, and we stopped at a mall, South Dakota somewhere. And coach said, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. You're all going to go into the mall, two by two, and you're going to find somebody, and you're going to share the gospel with them. And my heart went down into my stomach. Yeah, okay, you know, I mean, I'm a fairly outgoing kind of person, right? I mean, I can be loud, and when I'm in front of people, you know, I'm fine. But this part of me that's actually kind of introverted, you know, that I get really tense and anxious in some situations, and that was like the situation, you know. So I'm just hoping I get somebody that's, and for me it was so weird, you know, just to walk up to somebody, no context, they're shopping for shoes, and say, hey, do you not want to go to hell? You know, whatever it was awful. And I hated every second of it. It's terrible. I do like sharing the gospel. I do. But that way. Okay, so I say all that to say this. I want to make some connections here, okay, of how to get to the gospel and talking about salvation in a way that I think is that anybody can do. I think how it should be, okay? And so there'll be several steps, and I think we'll get there, and we'll see it from the scripture we saw today, okay? So we're going to start at abiding, all right? We saw in the First John, you know, old word abiding, you know, and I mean, he probably said who lives in, right? Whoever lives in me, obeys my commandments. You know, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. If you live in me, that kind of thing. It is a word of comfort, of taking in and resting in. Okay. So the first step, if you want to be a powerful evangelist, is to abide, to rest in God, to trust in Him. Now, what is it that makes that happen? It starts with God's love. Okay, it starts with God's love. We saw in 1 John 3:16, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another, right? We should love, do not be like Cain, right? 3:16. This is what we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That is the beginning. God makes the move. God provides the means. He loves us so much. He laid down his life. He is the good shepherd. And that's what they do. That's what he did for us. That's what he did for you and you and you and you. And so this abiding, we are resting in that love. His initiation. He's the shepherd. The shepherd doesn't go out. The sheep don't go out and find the shepherd. The shepherd finds the sheep. He starts it. He makes the move. He initiates his contact. Because we're helpless. If we carry the metaphor out, if we're the sheep, we absolutely need him. And so we start there with God's love, his love for us, his laying down his life for us. For God so loved the world that he gave us, sent his only son, right? That kind of a move. Protects us. We see from Psalm 23, that beautiful psalm, that picture of rest, of plenty, of flourishing. We want to abide. We want to live in. And that's the base of the Christian life, is to do that. So, of course, the question is, well, how do we do that, right? I mean, what does that look like? Well, 1 John puts it in one way. It says, obey his commands. Okay, now we're back to that, right? And it's a burden, you know. So again, abiding is not, shouldn't be a burden. It's not a burden. So we have what are we talking about here? Well, again, comes back to, if we think about God's love, if that really grips you, you know, every day, folks, every day for the past almost 24 years, every single day, I am amazed that a woman could love me through that whole time. That she just loves me. She chose me. Of all the men in the world, Sherry picked me. And I think it's amazing, and I love it, and I hope I reciprocate, and she feels that the same way. It's that sort of thing. And I can rest in that. Okay? It's not a burden then for me to desire her best, to want to do, you know, what she would like me to do, to be the man that she would want me to be, whatever that is. And that's what we're looking at here. As we rest in that love of God has for us, I'm going, yes, Lord, please, I want to please you. I want to do what's right for you. And so the idea of obeying commands is not the burden of, you know, seatbelt laws or speed limit laws, right? Whatever it is. It's simply reciprocating love. And so we ask our questions. If you're thinking about it right now, if you're wondering in your own hearts, your level of abiding, whatever it be, right? Ask yourselves, you know, is this something you want to? Do you want to? Does this please you to come to church on Sunday mornings? Are you here because, man, I really want to be here with these people? Do you want to obey these commands? Do you try? You may fail, sure, but isn't one of those things where if you slip up, you go, darn, okay, I'm going to do better. I'm going to move forward. I want to do the right thing. Do you open yourself up to somebody, others, to give you honest appraisal of your heart? Would you be willing to have someone in your life tell you, hey, I think there's this issue in your heart right now of anger. I'm seeing it come out in some places. You know, what's going on? You know, boy, I've been noticing that, you're cussing once in a while. Yeah, not a huge deal, but that's not even like you. What's going on? Do we have people in our lives that see us, know us, and would know if something is going on? We need these people. And are you willing then to listen to them? You know, and that's for all of us, young, old, and everything in between. Do we open ourselves up for honest examination? And then, just another thing to think about as we think about this idea of abiding, is your life, as others see you, as you see yourself, primarily identified or seen as Christ-centered? Primarily. Are you at first in all things a Christ follower? Is that how you see yourself? I work at an auto dealership. But first off, I'm a Christ follower in that context. I'm a father, I'm a husband. As a Christ follower, right? That is central to all that I would do. It's a simple question to ask yourself, maybe through the week. Okay, so we're making this connection. I want to start from abiding. We want to get to evangelism and salvation. Okay, so we're talking about abiding, being that kind of you're being enriched and encouraged in Christ. Okay, so then, out of this abiding, then we would express Christ-like love. We would have said there in John 3:23, he said, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. And what kind of love was that? A shepherd's love, a laying down his life love. That is the same love that we are called to. It's that kind of a love. We are called to the way of the cross. It is cross-shaped. It is following him in that way. Remember, we talked in recent weeks about what it means to believe, right? Remember, we say, it even says here, we want to believe in the name of Jesus. Well, we're not just talking about, well, I believe he existed, or I believe Jesus is a thing, or that he was real. Anybody can believe that in that way. But when we talk about belief, we are talking a pledge of allegiance, a bowing of the knee, a giving up of everything to a king and following in his footsteps. That's belief. That's why we see in places like in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, where the people say, Lord, Lord, didn't I heal in your name and all these things in your name? And God says, I don't know you. You may believe in your head, but you did not give your life to me. And so we see that now is the idea of belief and expressing this love for Jesus and for one another, right? If Jesus laid down his life for us, we see here, then we lay down our lives. That's the deal. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It means, like Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me in this same way. And so we love like that. And if someone attacks you, puts you down, whatever it may be, you love them. If someone, injustice or falsely accuses you, you love them. This is real life. This is real. And so that is the love we want to have. And so we start abiding in him, and we just embrace that kind of a love, that we express that same love to others around us, in our generosity, in our giving, maybe even at the point of suffering yourselves for the sake of somebody else. All right? And then from that kind of a life, from that kind of expression of what it is to follow Jesus, then we have the fruit of that, right? The fruit of the Spirit or whatever it is. I mean, if we are loving like that, we are going to have things come out of it. Okay, things like what we mentioned earlier, a couple Sundays ago, unity. And it mentions it here too, right? In the gospel, that we are one, that there's one flock, one shepherd, and we're going to be in unity. And he lays that light down for the sheep. There is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the sort of things that are becoming out of our life. It's going to be a kingdom of God life. You know, we spent the last months as we went through the Gospel of Mark and just that proclamation of the kingdom of God and what that was. So we're talking about healing and feeding people and clothing them, of coming alongside those, of helping those who are suffering, help those who are the stranger, the foreigner, the immigrant, the widow, the orphan, the marginalized, the poor, the dirty, the outsiders. And as this fruit of kingdom life is going out and we're laying down our lives in this way, we have a key step then. Because in the Acts reading, when Peter was before the leaders, and he was there because it was an uproar because he had healed a crippled man. Right? And people were asking, what is it? What kind of power, right? They're wondering what was going on here because of this fruit of the kingdom of God. They asked the question. And Peter said, well, if you're thinking it's me, it's not. And he said, it's Jesus. See, that's the key to evangelism. It's not so much me confronting someone with a question, but with them burning with a question in their own hearts by the Holy Spirit and convicting them and seeing your life and going, what is it about? Why? Why do you act that way? And I tell you, if you are following Jesus in the way of the cross, it's going to look different than this world. It's not the same thing. You cannot go to school and walk the way of the cross and not have it be different than the rest of school. We can't go to work. We can't walk down Lincoln and Fenimore and be walking the way of the cross and have it be the same as anybody else is walking down the street in Fenimore. It's different. And people will notice. They will. They'll go, what is it? And that then is the opportunity. They're asking questions, why? Why is it you don't swear? Why is it that you're always going to church? Why is it that, you know, you're not hanging out in the bars? Why is it that you're always helping people out? Why is it that you are going over and sitting next to that kid in school that no one else wants to sit with? Why is it that you're, you know, helping your neighbor with groceries? Why? Why is it that you're, you know, donating to a hospital or helping a birthing clinic, whatever it is? See? And before leaders, that was the question that Peter had, and he said, because Jesus, who you crucified and was buried in God's power, raised from the dead, it's then. That's why I'm doing it. That's why. It's not me at all. Well, you work so hard. You have such integrity. You're so honest. What a good person you are. It's. I got to tell you, it's Jesus. I got to tell you, it's Jesus. I wouldn't be here. I would not be like this if it wasn't for him. Yeah, I might try to be a decent person, but deep down, my own heart, I know it. It is Jesus. That is the Dreyfusware point. And it is this Jesus who is crucified and raised. And I believe that. Remember, I believe. I've given my life to this. And if you think that's attractive, that looks appealing to you, come check it out. Try it. I guarantee you won't regret it. See, that's the key. And everyone can do that. Because it's not by our own power. It is by the power of Spirit and this power of resurrection. And see, and that is then when we get to the salvation. Because then someone sees that, and then God convicts them. And they say, this makes sense. And they, however you want it, you know, someone go about it. They come to the Lord and say, forgive me, Lord. I want to follow you. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to learn how to do this thing. And I'm going to follow in the same path. And then that other person then goes the same path. You can help them along. Say, hey, this is what it's like. And then what happens? That person that saw in you coming to follow Jesus, they learn how to abide. And as they're abiding, they're going to learn the way of the cross. And then they're going to take the next step. And then there's going to be fruit. And then people are going to ask them questions of what changed in your life? And they say, well, it's not me. I tell you what, it's Jesus. Come try following Jesus. And then some of those people say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And then they're going to come in and believe. And then they're going to learn how to abide. You see, that's it. That is it. And that's the power of resurrection. When you see and you believe Jesus in this way. And that is the challenge before us every day. So, as we wrap this up, as I've spoken these things, where are you today? If you were to, you know, one of the things that the dealership, so I'm in charge of customer care, and one of the big things that is part of my job is when someone buys a new car, they get a survey in the mail, you know. And then about the dealership, the finance, the facilities, the salespeople, all these questions, right? Were you satisfied? And the mom had like a scale of 1 to 10, right? The truth of the matter is, on that survey, for my sake, for the dealership's sake, yeah, it looks like it's 1 to 10, but it's not. It's pass fail. It's pass fail. If it's, you think 9's pretty good. I mean, 9's good. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 9's really good, really. But if someone puts a 9 in that survey, I get a call, you know, from Chrysler or Jeep saying, hey, why are you failing? You know, we're not going to give you some money this month because you failed, because you got a 9. All right? That's rough. Mm-hmm. But I would ask you, as we consider these things, belief, abiding, a heart for others and evangelism. This is not pass fail. But on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think you are? Right? Like, abiding. I've been abiding this week. Ugh. And I've been kind of a 4.5 abiding this week. You know, my Bible reading, I was just kind of skipping over it. I was just kind of focused on other things. You know, boy, it was Wednesday before I even prayed, right? See, that's okay. Because the whole point of that is to see and then say, what do I do? What do I do then? You know, if it gets to you, then what is it you want to do to improve that? You know, what does your life look like to others? That's a big thing. What do you think? How do people see you, do you think? You know? Do they see you as different? In, you know, different circles you have. Maybe with some people who are act one way, with other people act another way. You want to think about that? Do you stand out righteously? If not, why? You ask yourself these hard questions. Why is it, Lord? What is it that I'm doing and not doing? Because how other people see you matters. Right? That's how it was with Peter. How they saw him. You know, as this, you know, kingdom of God person, it matters. Because you won't get the questions of why if they don't have anything to see to question. Now, you will get pushback in these things, right? You know, so, oh, you're a goody two-shoes. Look at you. Oh, you think you're better than me? You think you're better, right? Well, you'll see those kind of things. That's okay. Because that's a why question. They're wondering. They're maybe saying it a different way. They're going, why? Why is it you're like this? Why are you like this? And take advantage. Take advantage of those situations. But it all comes first from abiding. I would ask even today to abide. This week, just take a consider that real. Write a piece of paper, stick it on your mirror, your bathroom. Just say abide. And whatever that means for you, what it has to be this week. Maybe it's just taking an extra 10 minutes. And instead of flipping on the news on TV or a game on your phone, you know, I'm gonna read a chapter of the Bible. A simple thing. Again, I don't want to be legalistic or dogmatic about it, but a simple thing of helping to abide. Maybe it's, you know, I'm going to purposely talk to somebody this week that maybe irritates me. Whatever it may be, abide this week. So as we close, let's take a moment now, and I'll close in prayer. I want to take a moment first, just silently, to take stock in your own heart right now. Ask God. Here's a prayer I'm almost certain God will answer you. If you say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Show me where I've fallen short. He will answer that prayer. And the Holy Spirit will. So let's pray together and I'll close. Heavenly Father, thank you for your work. Thank you for that great love, the love of a shepherd, the love that laid down their lives for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to abide in that. And that as we believe, experience, and embrace that kind of love, that we would indeed take up our crosses and follow you. And that people be drawn to you through us. May you get the glory for it all. Help us, Lord. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.